for a while. Now, at school in year 12, I finished weighing 66 kilos. All throughout high school, I hung around 60. That number's long gone. But I decided it was time to get into shape. So where we lived, there was a gym. So I went down there. And they told me if I joined their gym, that in 6 months, I would lose 10 kilos, be more physically fit. So I joined the gym. It wasn't cheap. Actually, it cost quite a bit. But I figured, hey, it's worth it to get back into shape. So when I started, they did all the usual measurements, you know. They put me on the scale, they measured this, they measured that. And then 6 months later, I went back in to do the same thing. Now, during that 6 months, I'd actually gained weight, a couple of kilos, and actually, I wasn't in any better shape. So I did what everyone does. When things don't go their way, I complained to the manager. Their response was this. Well, how often did you come and work out? I was dumbfounded. They never actually told me that I had to go and do something. They simply said if I joined, I would lose 10 kilos. Yes, it is a really bad joke. But this joke contains a valuable, valuable principle. You get out of something what you put into it. I put absolutely nothing into getting into shape. So guess what? I got nothing out of it. Everyone knows that this statement is true. We learned it as kids, don't we? This is a picture of a money box that was given to my mum when I was a little baby. It sits in my office to this day. It still survives. Now, it's a miracle because I'm a clumsy child. There were balls bouncing through my house, and this is ceramic. So it's lucky that it's still alive, but it sits in my office. And I remember as a younger kid getting pocket money. Who got pocket money as a kid? Yeah? And then you had to put the pocket money into the money bank. All my friends had Dominite accounts. Do you remember the Commonwealth? Not me. I had to put it in the soldier. But one day, as we were down the shops, my mum and myself, I saw a toy that I just had to have. And because my parents were trying to instill in me a sense of value for money, from such an early age, and because they encouraged us, well, they didn't encourage us, they told us that we had jobs to do in our house. So when I asked for this toy, my mum said, "Do you have enough money?" I didn't have any money with me, so I was sort of stuck. But I went home, and I opened the piggy bank out, and I went back to the store, and I bought the toy. I was able to get the money out of the piggy bank. Why? Because I put it in. You only get out of something what you have put in. It's more true with bank accounts than I think anything else. You can't take money out if you do. Well, actually, no, there's credit cards, Daryl. Ignore that. But it's true. You put money into your money bank, you save it, you buy toys, either small plastic or big in metal. You get into shape by putting it in the effort. Everything else in life. I don't care if we're talking about relationships, education, jobs, clubs, activity, it doesn't matter what it is, you only get out of it what you put into it. I want to bring to you today this very important point, that is especially true for our spiritual lives. We only get out of our spiritual life, out of church, out of worship service, hey, even out of a sermon, even out of our relationship with God, what we put into it. If you invest your life, and if you invest it in spiritual things, then you're going to get something out of it. But if you don't, then you sort of feel lacking. You're not getting anything out. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? In our passage today, Paul gives us a great word of advice that he had written thousands of years ago to a church. The church in Colossians that Paul is writing to, he's been giving specific instructions on how to live as Christians. At home, at church, in the marketplace, everywhere they go. And in these verses, he points to the same principle that we have been talking about. If you want to get anything out of life, whether it's your physical life or your spiritual life, you have to put something into it. Look back at these verses that we started with. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Whatever you do in life, whether that's your job, care of your family, going to school, trying to get into shape, trying to strengthen your relationship with God, Paul says you should work at it with all of your heart. No matter what you do, you need to do it wholeheartedly. You don't need to just try and get by. You need to give it your all. Give it your best. Do all that you can. Put into life as much as you can so that you can get out as much as possible. We know people in this world, don't we, who get by in life by giving the bare minimum. Actually, probably 10% less than the bare minimum. You see them at work every day, don't you? They slack off of their jobs. They slack off on their responsibility. They don't do what they're supposed to. Oh, but they're slick, aren't they? As soon as the boss comes in, they shuffle papers. Oh, yes, I'll have that for you in a moment, sir. They're quick. They can look busy when the neighbours come over. When they look like they're the best husband or wife in the whole entire world. But when the boss turns his back, when the neighbor goes, they slip back into their old ways. They pretend to invest in life, but they aren't really putting anything into it. Paul says, as Christians, we should never, ever do that. Because we are called to a higher purpose. Paul says that we shouldn't be trying to just get by in life, but that we should be giving it our all because of Jesus. Jesus expects us to give our all for him, to put in a full day's work at the office, to fulfill our responsibilities to our families, to do what it takes to build relationship with him. Paul says this because he knows who our ultimate boss is, who our ultimate judge is, and that is Jesus himself. And we should be putting in all that we have into our lives, especially into our spiritual life. Why? Because Jesus gave his all for us. He died that we might live, and that we might bear spiritual fruit for him. It's Jesus that we are serving. It is Jesus that will hold us accountable for what we did or what we didn't do at the very end. There was a story in Reader's Digest, and I think it's a fantasy for all of us here. The story goes a little bit like this. There was a couple who had done really well in their lives. They had worked incredibly hard, and they managed to retire at a very early age, around about 51, I think the wife was, and 59 for the husband. They worked so hard, and when they retired, they moved from sort of the Pacific Northwest. Where's that, Jim? I have no idea.
Oregon.
It's cold there, right? Yeah, yep. And they decided to move to Florida. Yeah? Sunny, warm, tropical. Yeah. The article said that they spent their days cruising on their 30-foot boat, playing golf, picking up seashells on the beach. Their entire lives were wrapped up in the pursuit of pleasure. Hands up if that sounds good to you. Cruising around in your 30-foot boat, on the beach, picking up seashells. Okay, maybe the golf. We don't want to go golfing. It's an old people sport, right? Sorry for all the golfers out there. But still, how... I spent the last week on the beach. I was on holidays. It is a relaxing place. But the problem is they had quit investing in their lives. They were reaping the reward now, but the question I want to ask them is, what reward will they reap in the future? If they're Christians, I wonder if they had read Ephesians 4:1, a verse that urges us to live a life worthy of the calling of the vocation that we have received from God. I guess maybe they had a different translation where vocation was translated as vacation. Sure, their earthly bank account may have been full, beyond full. But what about their spiritual piggy bank? Was it still empty? Had they neglected to work wholeheartedly for the Lord? Because one day, they are like we are going to stand before Jesus to give an account of our lives. What are they going to say to Jesus? Hey, bro, check out the seashells. Look at this one. It's pretty. It shines. Paul tells us here that as Christians, we need to remember who we actually work for. Like the Blues Brothers, we're on a mission from God. You all need to go home and watch that movie again. We need to understand that, yes, it is okay to invest in our life here, but we should not neglect our spiritual life in the process. We should never forget that Jesus is the one that we are ultimately working for. Jesus didn't die so we could retire someplace with a beach and enjoy life picking up seashells. He died that we might inherit eternal life, that we might bear spiritual fruit for Him. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this from verse 8, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us to do in advance." Do you see how these two verses intersect? Do you see how these verses go with Paul and what he was saying in Colossians? You and I were created by Jesus to do good works. God prepared you to serve Him, to do things for Him. You're called to work at those things, not just enough to get you by, but to put your whole heart into it, to invest fully in your spiritual life, as well as your physical one. Do you know how full your spiritual life is? Are you there? Are you really giving your 100%? I want to ask you a question, and these questions can be quite challenging. Have you ever come to church and left thinking, I really didn't get anything out of that sermon? Yeah, I've done that. You can put your hands up. I'm not going to be offended here. Or maybe you've come along to church and you've listened to the worship and walked away and gone, you know what, I really didn't get anything out of those songs. They didn't really do anything for me. I wasn't moved when we sang those songs. Have you ever read the Bible and thought to yourself, well, that was a waste of time. I didn't get anything out of that passage. The truth is, sometimes, as great as I am, some sermons are flat. Sometimes worship services aren't that moving. But if it happens a lot, you really need to start asking yourself, what am I putting into this? Have I been investing in my spiritual life? What do you do to get ready to come to church? How do you prepare your heart? Is it simply, if I put on clean enough clothes, I am ready to go? Do we seek God through prayer before we even step into this building? Maybe you listen to some inspirational music. But what do we do to try and move closer to God? Or are you coming to church to try and get something out of an empty spiritual money box? We only get out of life what we put into it. If we aren't investing in our spiritual life, whether that's church, Bible study, or prayer, or anything else, then we're simply not going to get anything out of it. Salvation is a free gift from God. But it's not all that you get out of Jesus' death and resurrection. If that's what you think, then you really are shortchanging yourself. Jesus died that we might have life, and life to the full. He didn't just desire us to save us from hell. He desired for us to become sanctified, to know Him more, to have Him more in our lives, to devote ourselves to His ever-growing grace that we experience. See, when we are growing, there is movement. If there is no movement, there is death. It was once said to me that if you look out in your yard and your dog is not moving, then he might just be asleep. But if you keep looking out there and he hasn't moved in several days, then you need to go and bury him before he starts to stink up the place. Because dead life is defined by movement and growth. Death is the opposite. Think about the Dead Sea. It's a perfect example of what we're talking about. You only get out what you put in. So the Dead Sea is a stagnant body of water. There is no life-giving flow. There's no water going in, no water going out. It's not alive. It's not growing. It's dead. Nothing lives there. You get out of life what you put into it. If we don't consistently invest in our spiritual lives, then we're not going to get anything out of it. We're not going to grow in grace. We're not going to become more like Jesus. In fact, the opposite's going to happen. We're going to start to become dissatisfied with our relationship with God. You need to invest in your spiritual life. And that means more than just coming to church once or twice a month. Do you know that there are 168 hours in each week? In any given week, 168 hours. If you're lucky, you spend about 40 of that working. If you're super lucky, you spend about 56 hours of that sleeping. Cheryl and I, it's not the case, is it, Cheryl? We spend 29 hours eating and taking care of ourselves and our families. Do you know, on average, the average person spends 41 hours on leisure activities. And a survey shown was that while they spend 41 hours on leisure activities, only 2 of those hours are spent on spiritual activities. 2 out of 168. That's including church. So if I have a long sermon, that's what I need to do, longer sermons. Because that way you'll have more investing, right? That's 2 hours is involved, it includes church. And if that's the case, then I want to ask, is that really giving our whole heart to Jesus? because it's not that much that we're putting into our spiritual piggy bank. If we don't put the effort in, we then start to wonder why our churches, our prayers, our spiritual lives are so devoid of power. But the truth is, we only get out of something what we put into it. If you never put anything in, you're never going to get anything out. As a close, I want you to think about your spiritual life. Are you satisfied with it? Are you getting as much out of church as you could be? Are you seeing the responses to prayer, the victory over sin? Are you growing in grace and becoming more like Jesus every day? What can you change in your life that would yield enormous spiritual results? What if you spent an additional 5 minutes reading the Bible? What if you added another 5 minutes of prayer time? 5 minutes. Man, that's how long it takes to order a cup of coffee. What if we started spending more time praying or helping the needy or ministering to each other? What would giving God an additional 30 minutes a day or a week yield in our lives? You only get out what you put in. That goes for your life, for your family, for your work, and for the church. You only get out of your relationships with God what you put into it. If you're sitting there and going, you know what, I don't feel like I'm getting enough, then maybe the question is, how can I give more? If things aren't right, maybe it's time that we need to all invest more in our spiritual lives. Let us pray. Father God, we want to come before you and acknowledge that at times we just get all muddled on our priorities. Lord, we put things above you and you sort of seem to fall lower and lower on our priorities list. Lord, as we've talked about this idea of what we put in is what we can get out. Lord, the truth is that there is more to it. What we put in and what we get out becomes more. So, Father, I pray that you would help me and my brothers and sisters here to devote more of our lives, our spiritual lives to you, that we would spend more time in prayer, that we would encourage each other, build each other up and minister to each other. Lord, we pray that you might be glorified in our actions. We don't do this because we want to seem good and please you. We just want more of you because you are what we need. So, Father, we pray now. Help us as we go. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.